So this is a little off topic, but I'll swing back to the topic. I want to tell you about my beloved little doggies, my little Cocker Spaniels that are black and white. And they both have passed now, and I'm very sad about that. But I want to tell you about a time that I came home, and in my kitchen, I found a box of candy that my daughter was supposed to sell for a fundraiser, a box of chocolate candy bars, somehow eaten up, ripped up, wrappers all over the place, all over my kitchen floor. And I was not very happy to see that my two dogs, the little Cocker Spaniels, had somehow, don't know how because they're little, had gotten up on the counter, had pulled the box off the counter, and had eaten all that chocolate. I'm wondering, just like in a cartoon, if when we were gone, they would step upon one another to get up, or one would boost the other up to get up on that counter to get things. But this day I came home, and it was chocolate. I was nervous. I was mad, too. I was mad because I had to clean it up. I was mad because, you probably all know this, but chocolate is deadly to dogs, so I was mad about that. And I was mad because it was fundraiser chocolate, so then I knew I was going to be buying them all, the whole box. So what I did is, in my anger, I threw them outside and I said, whatever, just go out there, I need to clean this up. And I hoped for the best. I was hoping when I opened the door back up, they would be alive. But in that time, I needed to just clean that mess up, and the more they walked on it, the more their paws got chocolate-filled, and so it was going to get all over the house. So they went outside, and my daughter started crying, they're going to die out there. Don't make them be out there. They have to go to the vet. And I said, I need to clean this up, and then we'll deal with if they're dead or alive. Not one of my best days. So cleaned it all up, and I look out, and they're both a lot. They're doing well. They're fine. They just want to come in and get more chocolate. So they're outside, you know, happy, wagging their tails. Yay, let us in. And so I called my friend who's really smart about dogs, and she said, well, what kind of chocolate was it? And I said, well, you know, the kind that you sell in fundraisers. It's like Hershey's and Mr. Goodbar and stuff like that. And she said, there's not a lot of chocolate in that, so we're good. And you know what? They were fine. They were totally fine. All is well. And so after I knew they were going to stay alive and I knew that my house was cleaned up, I sat on the couch. And within an hour, guess who was sitting on the couch with me? My little dogs. They were on the couch with me, and I was no longer angry with them, even in that fit of rage earlier in the day. And I pet them and loved them and was so happy that they were sitting on the couch with me. So today, I will get back to why I told you about this beautiful story of my anger and my dogs. But today, we're going to dive into one of Paul's disputed letters. This means that New Testament scholars are not sure if Paul wrote this letter. Paul did spend time in Ephesus and wrote letters while staying in Ephesus. By the way, another day, I'm going to tell you that one of my wonderful things that I did in seminary is I spent 10 days in Ephesus. So another day I'll tell you about that. New Testament scholars feel this was probably written by another author using Paul's name. And this was quite common in antiquity and was usually considered a compliment to have someone write in your name. This letter is written to be read to all the churches in the region, probably about 7, kind of like the Syracuse United Methodist churches. Instead of addressing the situations and individuals of one house church, this letter has an overarching theme. This letter does not discuss specific issues, challenges, or accomplishments as many of Paul's other letters do. So I'm wondering, in this letter, what's up with the grace? Grace is in there a lot. We talk a lot about grace, but it's really hard to explain sometimes, or even feel that we deserve to accept God's grace. So, God loves us so much. God has mercy on us, forgives us, has compassion for us, because God knows we are not perfect. God knows and has known that human beings make mistakes. They miss the mark sometimes. We all make mistakes. We make little mistakes and big mistakes. God understands this about us and forgives us. So I talked with the children about Curious George and the man with the yellow hat. George was always getting into things, always getting into trouble, and realized his mistakes. In the book that I read this today, George knew that it wasn't good that he let that little bunny rabbit go. He knew he had to catch that bunny rabbit. When the man with the yellow hat found Curious George, he was always happy to see that George was safe and back in his care. This is God's grace shown in a children's book. God loves us. God loves you. You are a child of God. Therefore, those mistakes you've made, God has forgiven you. You no longer need to feel as though you need to carry them any longer. Any mistake you have made throughout your life that you feel may have disappointed God, you are forgiven. Today, know that you can be free of the guilt or negative thoughts around the mistake that you have been carrying. Are you listening for God's grace? A deep, cleansing compassion that knows your deep, dark stuff and loves you, has compassion for you, forgives you. Have you heard people around you or even God say you no longer need to carry the load of your mistakes? Set them free. Set yourself free. Listen for and accept God's unending grace. Grace is God's gift to you and to me. So if God is so openly willing to extend God's grace to us, could it be up to us to extend God's grace to the people in our lives? This could be challenging. We are only human, of course. We have been hurt. We are hurting. We have scars, both physical and emotional. Yet we are to be an example of God's love here on earth. Are we listening for God's guidance so that we can extend grace to the people around us? Where's grace in extending grace to others? How often do we step back and have compassion for another's story? How often do we get angry and hold on to that anger for days or weeks or even years? Is it possible we are being asked to look at all sides of the story, have compassion for all participants in an argument, and then extend grace? Are we able to extend grace in our relationships? Have we been able to extend grace to our parents or siblings, our friends and relatives, our partners and our children? Grace is such a beautiful gift to keep to ourselves. Have others come to know Jesus because you have extended grace? Even as hurt and broken as we all are, have we listened to God telling us to extend grace? Where is grace in the systems of oppression that linger in our neighborhoods, in our country, and in our world that just need some grace? We are called to stand up against these systems of oppression, yet somehow extend grace. I'm not sure how to do this except by the grace of God, by listening for how to extend God's grace. All I know is that God needs to be a part of the formula to end oppression. The scripture today is long-winded, but I will be brief. Verse 5 and 6 is the heart of the message. God destined us for adoption as God's children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of God's will, to the praise of God's glorious grace that God freely bestows on us in the Beloved. That's us. The Beloved is us. Let's start to listen for and believe that God gives us freely. Let's start to make the difficult choice to extend grace to others. Because we can be a channel of God's love, we can extend the same love, mercy, and grace to others. So together, we can be a great watered garden. Let's live by grace.